Hello, dear listeners of Osho Radio. We play music from the world of Osho and a part of a discourse by Osho. In today's program, we play a lot of music from the time that Osho was in America, where a beautiful city was created called Rajneeshpuram. To give you a taste of the atmosphere, we'll play some music so you get a little impression of the high energy and celebration of those days. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy.
are the love in my life. You are my shining light. You are the one who makes me feel so right. I'll sing your melody and we'll dance this mystery. I'm so in love with you. So in love with you. You are the love in my life. You are my shining light. Beyond these words are only tears of joy. The greatest gift in my life has been day I fell in love with you.
The discourse is from the series I Am Dead, number 16. Somebody is asking Osho the question, I'm so bored and fed up with everything. Please tell me what to do.
First question. Bhagwan, I am feeling helpless. I don't know what I can do anymore. It is as if everything I do won't change this. It only makes things worse, but also doing nothing does not make things better. You say that emptiness is bliss. For me, it seems to be dull and boring. It is like being dead. When there is nothing, I cannot see any beauty in it. I am fed up with it. I want to get out of it. Please answer me. But please don't answer me like this, that taking sannyas would change everything and make everything beautiful. Thank you. Alexander, the first thing is to understand that life remains the same whatsoever you do. It is already perfect. It cannot be improved upon. The very idea of improving it is egoistic. It is the cause of our misery. It is the way it is. There is no need to improve it. Enjoy it. Don't waste your time in improving it. If you try to improve it, you will feel helpless. Obviously, because you will be failing again and again, falling short, and your desire can never be fulfilled. It is not in the very nature of things. Es dhammo sanantano. Gautam the Buddha has said, this is the way things are. Whenever people used to ask him how he can improve upon things, he will always say, "Es dhammo sanantano." There is no need to improve. There is no way to improve. Everything is as it should be. Unless this is understood, Buddha calls it tathata, suchness. The rose is rose, the marigold is marigold. The effort to make a marigold a rose is doomed to fail. And then there is helplessness, misery. Failure. The ego feels hurt, wounded. This is the first thing, a deep, total acceptance of things as they are. Then life enters into a different dimension, the dimension of joy. Celebration. Because then the whole energy is available to dance, sing, to be. Now the whole energy is engaged into improving, into changing, into making things better. You say, I'm feeling helpless. You are causing this helplessness yourself. You say, I don't know what I can do anymore. You have done already enough. That's why you are feeling helpless. Stop doing. And when I say stop doing, it does not mean that do nothing. That is the second thing to be understood. When I say stop doing, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying do nothing. Stop doing simply means stop pushing the river. Flow with the river. It is already going towards the ocean. It will take you to your destiny, whatsoever it is, X, Y, Z. It is unpredictable. Where the river will enter the ocean, nobody knows. When and where. And it is good that nobody knows. It is good because life remains a mystery, a constant surprise. One feels wonder on every step. A great awe surrounds one. But misunderstanding is always possible, because I say, don't try to improve. Doing nothing is the best. That does not mean that you become inactive. It simply means you don't make any effort to improve upon things. You relax. You will be still doing things, but now there will be no effort in your doing. There will be no doer in your doing. They will be simply happening. When you will feel hungry, you will eat. That is not doing. When you are not feeling hungry and you force yourself to eat, that is doing. Forcing is doing. When you feel sleepy, you sleep. That is not doing. But when you are not feeling sleepy and you force yourself to go to sleep, that is doing. When you are feeling fast asleep, then trying to wake up is doing. When the sleep is over on its own accord and your eyes open up, that is not doing. Eat when hungry, drink when thirsty, sleep when sleepy. Let go. Don't try to struggle. Don't make life a conflict. Enjoy it. And then each moment is precious. And you will never feel helpless. And you will never feel that nothing is getting better. Because you are not expecting it to get better. It is already the best world that can be, the most perfect existence that ever can be. But your ego wants to improve upon things. You think you know better than existence itself. You are just a small part of it. You are just a small ripple in the finite ocean, and you want to improve upon the ocean. That is just being foolish. Relax, dance in the sun while you are, sing a song. It is beautiful to be, and it is also beautiful not to be. When the wave rises, good. For a moment, enjoy the sky, the air, the wind, the sun, the rain. And when the wave disappears, good, go into deep rest. Nothing is ever born and nothing ever dies. Things only move between manifestation and unmanifestation. They become visible, they become invisible. To become invisible is a resting place. Just as after each day you need deep sleep in the night to rejuvenate you, to make you again young and fresh. In the same way, after each life you need death. Death is a deeper sleep and nothing else. After each life your body is so tired, you need a new body, a new manifestation. The old wave disappears, but the water in that wave remains in the ocean. It will come again in a new wave. The old is continuously becoming new. Allow it. You simply allow life and go with it in deep trust. This is what I call religiousness. This trust, it is not a belief. Belief is always in dogmas, creeds, theories, philosophies, ideologies. This is not belief. This is simply trusting existence. We have come from it. It is our source. We are not outsiders. We are insiders. And we will go back to the source. It is our source. Coming out of it is good. Going back into it is good. All is good. To feel it brings rejoicing. All is good. That's the meaning of trusting in God, that all is good. You are unnecessarily getting into trouble. You are trying something absurd. You are trying to pull yourself by your own shoestrings. You will feel helpless. You cannot do it. You are like a dog chasing its own tail. It is not possible. The faster the dog will jump, the faster the tail will also move away. It will drive the dog crazy. It is said that if you want a philosopher to remain engaged, just give him a piece of paper and on both the sides write PTO. So he will look on this side and then turn it over, and then PTO again is there, so he will turn it over. And he will go crazy. But he will remain occupied. You are being too much philosophical. You ask me, you say that emptiness is bliss. I don't say it is so. Es dhammo sanantano. And what you are saying, that you are saying. I am not saying emptiness is bliss. What can I do? It is. It is my experience. And what you are saying is simply a statement without any experience. You have not experienced emptiness. But now see, what a great problem you have made out of something which you have not experienced. You say, for me, it seems to be dull and boring, as if you have experienced it. Think over the matter again. Have you ever experienced emptiness? And in emptiness, how can there be boredom? If it is boredom, it is not empty. It is full of boredom. If there is dullness, it is not empty. The mind is there, feeling dull, feeling bored. Emptiness cannot be boring. It cannot be dull. Emptiness is simply empty of everything. You cannot say anything about it. But you have not experienced it. You have just thought about it. Yes, if you think about emptiness, it will look boring. It will look dull. It will look dead. But the people who have experienced it, Buddha, Jesus, Zarathustra, Lao Tzu, Chuang Tzu, Mahavira, Bodhidharma, Bahaudi, Nanak, Kabir, not a single person has said that it is boring. You are really an exception. If you have experienced it, then you are denying all the awakened people. But you have not experienced it at all. I can say it because I know what emptiness is. When I say emptiness is bliss, I am not saying that emptiness is full of bliss. Don't misunderstand me. Emptiness is bliss is simply making you aware of their synonymousness. You can call it empty or you can call it bliss. Both the words are synonymous. Emptiness is bliss because there is nothing which can bore you, which can make you feel dull, which can create anxiety, which can make you afraid, which can create anguish. There is nothing at all. Because there is nothing, the whole mind has gone. That state is called bliss. One can call it emptiness, one can call it bliss. These are just two expressions for the same phenomenon. Buddha insists on calling it emptiness, sunyata. And the Upanishads emphasize on calling it bliss, and they are talking about the same phenomenon. Buddha's insistence is far better because it is more applicable to you. You are bound to misunderstand the Upanishad because the Upanishad's way of telling is positive. It says it is bliss, and in you certainly it creates greed. You start searching for bliss. You are miserable and you want bliss. You desire bliss. You start making every effort to improve things so that you can be blissful. You go astray Because of the word bliss and its positivity, Buddha became aware of this phenomenon. 25 centuries had passed between Buddha and Isha Upanishad. Isha Upanishad is perfectly right. It is bliss. But to say it to you is not right, because you are bound to misunderstand it. Hence Buddha changed the whole expression. He said it is emptiness. Calling it emptiness is of tremendous importance, because nobody wants emptiness. It does not create greed in you. Who will be greedy for emptiness? The very negativity of it destroys greed, desire, ambition, ego. And again Buddha was asked, what happens when one becomes empty? And he will remain silent. He will say, don't ask me, you become empty and see what happens. He will never say bliss happens. For the simple reason, because you will immediately jump upon the idea of bliss. And to you, bliss will mean only pleasure. At the most, happiness. Something of the mind. Something of the body. But it will not be exactly what bliss is. It is neither of the body nor of the mind. It is a transcendence. Transcendence of all that you know. Of all that you have ever experienced, of all that you are, it is better to call it emptiness. It cuts you from the very roots. But 25 centuries have passed since Buddha again. And people are so stupid that they will misunderstand everything. They misunderstood the Isha Upanishad, which talks about bliss. Buddha tried to move to the other extreme. He started calling the ultimate state emptiness, sunyata, just zero, pure zero and nothing. It worked for a time being, while he was alive. It always works. When the master is alive, it works. Any method becomes magical when the master is alive. Any word becomes significant when the master is alive. It is the charisma, it is the presence of the master that makes things work. It is his magic. Once Buddha was gone, the same people who have misused the word bliss started misusing the word emptiness. They started thinking emptiness is boring, emptiness is dull, emptiness is nothing but death. What is the point of attaining emptiness? Without knowing anything about emptiness, they started condemning it. Buddhism was uprooted from India for the simple reason that Buddha has used total negative terms, and India has become accustomed of positive, affirmative terminology. Buddha seemed very strange, not belonging to the tradition, antagonistic to tradition. He was trying to help. Now, I am trying to do both the things together. I am saying bliss is emptiness. Another effort. Upanishad said it is bliss. Buddha said it is nothingness. You have escaped from both. I am trying to catch hold of you from both the sides. I say emptiness is bliss. Bliss is emptiness. You are saying things which you have not experienced at all. You say, when there is nothing, I cannot see any beauty in it. When there is nothing, do you think you will be there? When there is nothing, you will not be there. There will be something which cannot be called I, which cannot be identified with the ego. So who will be there to see beauty? There will not be beauty, and there will not be the seer. There will be just silence. No I, no thou, no subject, no object, no duality, a pure oneness, an utter silence. But you got caught in your own words. You say, I am fed up with it, as if you are living in it, you are fed up with it. You have not even tasted a single drop of nothingness, emptiness, and you are fed up with it. How tricky is the mind? How cunning is the mind? Mind goes on finding subtle strategies to avoid reality. Now, you are saying that I am fed up with nothingness, emptiness. I want to get out of it. And you must have believed what you are writing. You have no idea of nothingness. And you are fed up with it. And you want to get out of it. The real thing is how to get into it. And you ask me, please answer me. But please don't answer me like this, that taking sannyas would change everything and make everything beautiful. No, taking sannyas will not change anything. But it will certainly make everything beautiful. The world remains the same. Just the vision, the attitude, the approach changes. And don't be a coward. Take the jump. Become a sannyasin. Nothing will change, but everything will become beautiful. Thank you.
We're coming to the end of today's program. There was a lot of music from the world of Osho. We started with the drums. Such exciting music. This was the day that Osho came out in 1982 for the first time on Master's Day, the 6th of July. Maybe you could hear the atmosphere of expectation and excitement that was happening. The music was from the first satsang in Rajneeshpuram. The satsangs, which means communion with the masters, those days were pieces of music and then texts read by somebody and silences in the presence of the master. Ashik played his violin wildly from his CD Gypsy Soul with the number Sardash. Milarepa was singing his beautiful song from the CD Invisible Worlds called So In Love With You. And then, before the discourse, there was Manish Vijas with a composition called Vande Gurudev. After the discourse, you heard an instrumental piece of music, also a satsang, during the celebration of the summer of 1982. Then there was Miten, together with Ravi from the CD Tidal Wave. Same boat, same sky. We finish with music that was played in the presence of Osho on his birthday in 1982. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the program. Stay tuned to Osho Radio and tell your friends about us. Have a good week. Take care and namaste. La la la.